السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي لم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي انقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فان مع العسر يسرا ان مع العسر يسرا فاذا فرغت فانصب والى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الامي وعلى اله وسلم تسليما My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, we are passing through very special days and nights. If we were to study the Quran, we will come to know that there is a rabat between the surahs and there is a rabat between the ayat. The meaning of rabat is that one surah has a connection with another. One ayat has a connection with the previous ayah. Scholars have spent countless hours trying to understand the rabat between the surahs and the rabat between the ayat. Now, if we were to establish a rabat between the ibadat, we will come to know that there is a very strong connection between Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and a very strong connection between the month of Ramadan and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The ulama have understood that after the month of Ramadan is completed, the following month is the month of Shawwal. And the month of Shawwal is the first month from the months of Hajj. As we all know that there are three months of Hajj. One is Shawwal, the second being Dhul-Qa'dah, and the third being Dhul-Hijjah. So immediately after the completion of Ramadan, that is a mighty ibadat, the trumpet is blown for Hajj. So when we sight the crescent of Shawwal, this is like a proclamation that the days and the months of Hajj have started. So there's a subtle hint in this, that as a believer, we do not switch off. But the practice of ibadat are continuous. The second thing that the ulama have derived from this rabat between the months and the ibadat, we come to know that after the month of Ramadan comes to an end, we celebrate. That celebration is known as Eid al-Fitr. And after we complete Hajj, because the most important ritual of Hajj is stationing yourself at the grounds of Arafah, that takes place on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, one day earlier than the day of Nahr, the day of sacrifice, the day of Eid. So Eid al-Adha, the celebration follows after completing the most important ritual of Hajj. Then in addition to this, we find that when we go out to establish or to enjoy our Eid al-Fitr, before we go, we give Sadaqat al-Fitr. We give Sadaqat al-Fitr. And we find the same format on the day of Eid al-Adha, that before celebrating, we give the sacrifice. So we give the sacrifice. So there is a great, mighty connection, rabat, between the ibadat. And there is a mighty rabat between the two Eids. As we just made mention, that these 10 days and 10 nights are very, very special. As we only have one Jumu'ah pertaining to this, so there are going to be certain details that we are going to share pertaining to different aspects. So it's not going to be one topic, it's going to be different aspects that we are going to cover in the short time that we have. Because the following Friday, we will be out of the 10 days. We will be out of the 10 days. I would like to make mention what we should be doing in these 10 days according to the beautiful instructions left behind by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first hadith that I would like to report has been recorded by Imam at-Tabarani, and the Ravi is Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, in which the Nabi of Allah says, there are no days that are more weightier. There are no days that are more weightier. And when we use the word weight, we should understand that a'mal are to be weighed on the scale on the day of judgment. So there are no days more weightier or liked by Allah for good deeds than the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So when you find yourself in the days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days, you find yourself in these days, increase your reading. The Nabi of Allah says, increase your reading of the following: the Tasbih, Tahmid, Takbir, and Tahleel. Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. So these 9 or 10 days, we should be making this dhikr in abundance. We should be making this dhikr in abundance. May it be the first day, the second day, the third day. May it be the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. We should be making this dhikr in abundance. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. I believe that my congregation remembers that a few weeks ago I made mention of the reward attached to this dhikr. If you have forgotten, you can listen to my lecture on this and you will come to know that there is mighty reward attached to Tasbih, Tahmid, Takbir and Tahleel. On Wednesday coming, that is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, that is a mighty day. It is a very important day for us to establish a very sound, mighty connection with our Creator. The hadith has been recorded by Imam at-Tirmidhi, and it is something amazing. The information shared by the Nabi of Allah is very, very critical and at the same time very, very beneficial. The Nabi of Allah says that the best time for a dua to be accepted is on the day of Arafah, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The best dua is the dua to be accepted on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Now the question that comes to mind, that if we know that the dua is going to be accepted, which dua should we focus upon? Which dua should we focus upon? For example, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the time between the adhan and the iqamah is a accepted time, where du'as are accepted. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. The du'a, the time between adhan and iqama, is an accepted time. So you should make du'a. So the Sahaba said, "فَمَاذَا نَقُولُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ." What should we ask? What should we ask between this time? And the Nabi of Allah says, "صَلُّ اللَّهُ الْعَافِيَةَ." Ask for well-being. Focus upon that. Keeping this hadith in mind, let's return to the current subject. The Nabi of Allah says the best time to make dua is on the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. It is a time when du'as are accepted. Now the Nabi of Allah, to draw the attention of the addressees, he further says that the prophets before me that are a fountain of wisdom, that have left a mighty legacy and are a paragon for humanity, the prophets before me and myself have made this dua, and we believe this dua to be the mightiest dua. So not only myself, but the prophets before me and myself have made this dua, and this dua is the most mighty dua. And then the Nabi of Allah points out, highlights that dua that is very well known to us. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. So if this dua is good enough on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, that is the most important day, then isn't this dua good enough for our entire life? Isn't it good enough for the first of Dhul-Hijjah, the second of Dhul-Hijjah, outside Dhul-Hijjah, after Dhul-Hijjah? And you would like to focus upon the meaning of this. La ilaha illallah. I made mention a few weeks ago that Qadi Ayyad, in his very well-known book, Ash-Shifa fi Haquqi Mustafa, has made mention of a hadith. And I made mention in addition to this, that the very famous scholar from Damascus, Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he has recorded this hadith in Madarij al-Salikin, in which Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhi asked the Nabi of Allah, سَأَلْتُ نَبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ سُنَّتِهِ. I asked the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم pertaining to his sunnah, what is your sunnah? What is your life about? What have you gathered on this auspicious journey? And the Nabi of Allah starts by saying, Al-Ma'rifatu Ra'su Mali. The Ma'rifat of Allah, the recognition of Allah, is my capital. This is where I start from. I will invest my time, my attributes, my quality, but I will not lose my capital. Capital is most important. Al-Ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah. The best day in which du'as are accepted is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. And the best du'a that we can say ijma, that is unanimous amongst all the prophets, that are fountains of wisdom, piety, righteousness, is La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. Wahda, He is alone. Wahda, He is alone. La sharika la, He has no partners. Lahul mulk, to Him belongs sovereignty. Walahul hamd, and unto Him belongs all praises. Wahuwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and He has power over shay, everything. This is the dhikr that we should make in abundance throughout these days and throughout these nights. And it should be our practice after these 10 special days depart, that we make this dhikr every morning, every evening. Scholars have said 100 times every morning, 100 times every evening. So when we arrive at this junction of nobility, where rahmat is descending in abundance, we are habituated to making this dhikr. So not only in these 10 days, make it your habit to make this dhikr with contemplation, with understanding every morning, every evening. This will bring wonders to your life. It will bring amazing positive changes to your life. Because everything is based upon the ma'rifat of Allah, and this dhikr gives us a true understanding of our Creator. So this is what we should do in these remaining days and remaining nights. As we made mention that the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah is a very important day for the entire Muslim world. It is a day in which Allah has decided to allow many different, multiple in'amat and bounties to descend from His unlimited treasures. And it is up to us to be a recipient to it or not. It is up to us. To encourage us, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the fasting on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and that is Wednesday for us. Wednesday is the day that we should fast. أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Nabi of Allah says that this one day will compensate for the minor sins of the past 1 year and the coming 1 year. So we should all fast on Wednesday. If you do not know of the starting time, because many people, they may have lost track with the crack of dawn, you can ring me, you can take a calendar for the entire year and you will know the starting time. So when you should stop your early breakfast, your suhoor, and start your fast, but do not forsake yourself from the benefit of this day. Make the intention right now with your Creator, so Allah gives you the tawfiq, that we are all to fast on Wednesday. May it be men, may it be women. And to accommodate for that, what we are going to do, I have not consulted with my muadhin, but we're going to make this announcement. We will treat it as the month of Ramadan. We will pray Maghrib 10 minutes after the starting time. We will treat the 9th of Dhul Hijjah as a day of Ramadan. That all of us, because we are all going to be fasting inshallah, so we are going to pray Maghrib 10 minutes after the time. So everyone can have their iftari, they can bring their iftari downstairs in the mosque, have their iftari, and after 10 minutes we will pray. So we treat it like a very special day. Because this is a compensation for all our minor sins. Our minor sins are going to be redeemed, are going to be erased. In addition to this, there is something else that we should be mindful of, and I believe that women should be more mindful than men. Because for men there is a reminder. I am talking about the days of Tashriq, Ayyamut Tashriq. That for 5 days, after each prayer, after each compulsory prayer, it is incumbent upon the men to make the dhikr. Now everyone knows the dhikr. What is the dhikr? How does it start? What dhikr do we make after the salah? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Many a times, there are certain things, certain adhkar that we should make silently. But we break the limits, we surpass the limits, and we make the dhikr aloud. Certain places where the dhikr should be made silently, we make it aloud. And where Islam says make the dhikr aloud, we make the dhikr silently. I have seen many a times in the days of Tashriq, the entire masjid should be echoing with this dhikr. Allah kehta hai, uncha, hum niche chale jate, aista bolte. Allah kehta hai, aista, hum uchi awaaz se dhikr karte. If Allah says, I want to hear you making the dhikr aloud, make it aloud. Shyness is not accommodated there. After the salah, everyone make the dhikr aloud with the entire masjid. Goonjriyo. It is echoing with the dhikr. Now this hukam is for the men. It is wajib. For the ladies, there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. There is a selected group of this opinion that the same law of incumbency applies to the women. And there's a different respected group of ulama that they say it is only desirable for the women. In whichever case it may be, it is better, it is more safer for the women to make that dhikr. Now, why I say that the women should be more mindful, because if we are sitting in the masjid, there's 30, 40 people, if one forgets, two forget, three forget, one will start to recite, everyone will remember. But in the home, it is the ladies alone. And after the salah, if they forget, there is no reminder. So they will miss out on the dhikr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So it is advisable that they have something written down and taped to the wall that comes right in front of them. So if they do forget, this paper is a reminder for them. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now, this is for 5 days. Of course, there are two opinions in this, but the most preferred opinion is 5 days. And our dhikr will start from Wednesday, because it is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and it will start from Fajr. So after Fajr, each person in the masjid will recite this dhikr at least once. Preferred, 3 times. Once is compulsory, and 3 times is sunnah. So that will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will finish our dhikr after Asr. So Fajr on Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday will be the 5th day of Tashriq, or you could say the last day. And then at Asr we will complete the dhikr. This is for men and women. Of course, men in the masjid, do not be shy, make this dhikr aloud. So inshallah we will hear this dhikr next Friday after Jumu'ah in the masjid, because we are all going to be here. Alright. Now, in addition to this, another aspect that I would like to shed some light upon. I have been receiving calls for the last few days, and it is not something new. I receive these calls each year from different people. And I believe that these calls compel me to convey and relate the true message. Many a times people say that, Imam Sahib, I have a family member that is very, very sick abroad, and he is very, very poor. I have calculated that if I give a qurbani, it will cost me $100. Can I give the $100 to the person and he can buy medicine? Because I believe that that is more beneficial than sacrificing an animal. And you will hear many, many questions similar to that, where a person, he wants to replace the ibadat of qurbani with the ibadat of charity. He wants to replace the ibadat of qurbani, sacrifice, with the ibadat of charity. The simple reply to this is that it is time for Jumu'ah. It is time to establish the Jumu'ah prayer. And one person says, Imam Sahib, my mother is sick in the hospital. Can I go and serve her rather than pray Jumu'ah? Every ibadat has its place and its time. Simple. Every ibadat has its place and its time, and for one we will not sacrifice the other. We will establish each ibadat in its time, in its theater. But when we study qurbani, Allahu Akbar, this sacrifice, we come to know that there are other ibadat in Islam that have an alternative. For example, one person, he wants to pray, and he has established his compulsory prayer. There are many alternatives. He can establish the sunnah prayer, he can establish the ishraq, the awwabin, the salatu dhuha, the salatu tahajjud. He can establish a nafal prayer. It is an alternative to the compulsory prayer. So if a person has prayed and he still feels a crave to communicate, he has the option. One person has given zakat, but he still has a scratch. He feels generous. His attribute, his sifat of giving has not been satisfied by giving 2.5%. He can give sadaqat. But when it comes to qurbani, this qurbani will only be accepted in the 3 days. the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th before Maghrib. If a person does not sacrifice the animal in these 3 days, he can sacrifice many animals after that, but he will not attain the reward that he will attain in these 3 days. So the sadaqah qurbani after the 3 days will not be a compensation for the missed out qurbani in these 3 days. So there's no alternative. For example, one person, because if we think about it deeply, we'll come to know that at the end of the day, may it be the ritual of Hajj, may it be the ritual of sacrifice, may it be the establishment of prayer, may it be the giving of zakat or any other form of ibadat, the main thing that regulates something to be ibadat is the order of Allah. The most important element that we should focus upon is the hukam of Allah. Think about it. Now, on Wednesday, in Arafah, there are going to be millions of people. And if one does not make it to the grounds of Arafah, his Hajj is not accepted. How many people are going to be pelting the Jamarat? But it has selected days. If you and me were to go to Saudi Arabia after 1 month, we could go to the grounds of Arafah and we would be the kings. There's no one there. We can stay there for 359 days, but we won't get the reward of that 1 day. We can pelt the Jamarat for 350 days. There will be no one there. We can choose the section that we are going to pelt, and we do not even have to pelt. We can go and place the stone there, but it is not going to be rewarded. Because the main thing is the hukm of Allah. Allah says, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah is the day when I want you to assemble. If you assemble, your Hajj is accepted. If you don't assemble, your Hajj is not accepted. There's no compensation for this that you come on the 10th. And think about it. We crave here. We know that if we pray in the Jami' Masjid, and Holland Park Mosque is the Jami' Masjid of Queensland. Not because I'm the Imam here, according to rule, this is the Jami' Masjid. So the reward is multiplied compared to a normal masjid. But we have understood from different narrations, traditions, that if you pray in the noble sanctuary in Mecca, the reward is multiplied by 100,000. It is multiplied by 100,000. Now one person, he wants to gain maximum reward. So he goes to Mecca and he starts to pray in the Haram. Alhamdulillah. For each prayer, the reward is 100,000. Now think about it. On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, when we go to Mina, so we wear the Ihram and we go to Mina, what do we do in Mina? Nothing other than establish 5 prayers. There's no other ritual attached to stationing yourself in Mina other than praying Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Fajr of the following day. There's nothing else that we do there. One person could say, I am forsaken the reward of 100,000 prayers. What am I doing in Mina? Let me go back. Let me go back and stay in the noble sanctuary and establish the 5 prayers so I can collect 100,000 virtues for each prayer. Forget about collecting 100,000 virtues for each prayer. Most probably his prayer will not be accepted. Because it is the order of Allah. Allah wants us to be in Mina, we are in Mina. Allah wants us to sacrifice. Allah wants us to spend that $100, we spend the $100. Because this is the ibadat of the time, at the moment. We will not replace it with anything else. It is time to establish Jumu'ah. We will not replace it with another ibadat. Even at that time, if it seems like much greater, much important, but we will not replace it, because at the end of the day, what is most important is the order of Allah. And this is the order of Allah that has beautified this ritual. That has beautified that ritual. So keep in mind, this sacrifice that we are to make, it should be with an open heart. It should be with an open heart, with happiness, no resentment. This animal on the day of judgment will come with its hoofs, with its hair, with its horns, and all the animal will be weighed. And the weight will increase based upon the sentiments that the person holds in the heart at the time of sacrifice. It is the ikhlas, the sincerity. Then Allah will allow the animal to be much weightier. And in Surah Hajj, Surah 22, verse 37, Allah says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is neither luhum, the meat, وَلَا دِمَا, nor the blood that reaches Allah. Allah is not in need of the flesh. That's why ajeeb. We will speak about this in detail next week. It is ajeeb that Allah says you sacrifice and then keep the meat. This distribution of three portions is not compulsory. If you want to keep all the meat, you can keep the meat. If you want to give all the meat, you can give the meat. If you want to divide it into three, that is fine. If you want to divide it into two, that is fine. But it is preferred, so no one misses out on your sacrifice, that you divide it in three. That you keep one third, you give one third to the family members and one third to the poor. This is a preferred, it is not compulsory. We should understand the status. And let me further say, a lot of people ask me, can we give this meat to the non-Muslims? Yes, capital Y, yes you can. Qurbani meat you can give to non-Muslims. This is the ruling. Not mind the fuqaha. So you can give the meat of qurbani to the non-Muslims. And maybe even better that you give it to your neighbors. A good da'wah. They say out of the odd, out of the blue, you have given us meat. Why? Then you have opportunity to open the doors of hidayah. You speak to these people and you speak about Ibrahim, his legacy. And you say this is the maqsad. It is a commemoration of the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Inshallah we will continue this topic, if Allah wills, next week. But keep in mind, from on Wednesday, and when we say inshallah, even if we don't mean it, even if we don't mean it, this inshallah may allow tawfiq to descend on the station of our heart. So I'm going to pose a question, and aloud, simultaneously, we're going to say yes. Inshallah, we're going to say yes. Are we going to fast on Wednesday? Inshallah. And we are going to make the dhikr during the 5 days allowed, inshallah. We're going to commit to the dhikr of tasbih, tahmid, tahleel, tahleel from now till the end of our life, inshallah. And on the day of Arafah, that is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, on Wednesday, we're going to make the dhikr in abundance, and we're going to make this dua of, it's a reminder, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah allowed these 10 days, 10 nights to be the means of our salvation. Allah Rabbul Izzat allow mercy to descend on the entire ummah. And Allah Rabbul Izzat allow the ummah to unite on the platform of iman and amal salih. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.